Thank you, choir. Whenever we hear a parable from Jesus, it is very important that we hear it as if we are hearing it for the first time. Many of us grew up in the church, so whenever we hear the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, it is so very easy for us to say, oh, I know the answer to that parable. I got the lesson. And most of us will say, this parable is about being humble. That's it. Be humble. And we can stop it there, and we can say, all right, I'll be humble. But the moment we say, I'll be humble, we begin looking around, right? Because I know I'm humble, but what about you? See what happens? Are you humble? See? So when Jesus tells his parables, we have to make sure whether that was what he's driving at. Is that what he means to say? Is that the lesson we're supposed to get? Let's look at this parable. Let's look at this Pharisee, this man we kind of make a foil, like we're not like him, right? Well, actually, I hope as a pastor that I had 100 Pharisees in my church. You know why? Look at this man. He comes to church every Sunday. Look around, right? Not only that, he says he gives a tithe of everything he owns. You know, in the olden days, the religious, the devout people are asked to give 10% of whatever they earned. It's like 10% of your salary. But here is 10% of everything I own, he says. Not only that, the devout religious folk of Jesus' day were asked to fast one day of the year. One day out of 365 days. But look at this man. He says, I fast twice a week. That's 104 days out of the year. Meaning, he's willing to devote his life to doing good things for other people, to serving God and serving God's church. So, what's the problem with the Pharisee? Why does Jesus pick on this man who seems such a devout, decent, well-rounded person? Just one thing, I think. There was nothing wrong with what he does. It is to be praised. Yet, he is confused about the source of this religious life that he lives. Because as he goes up to the temple to worship God, like on this Sunday, his prayer, his religion, is about what he does, not about God. Is that I come to church, is that I give my money, is that I do good things, is that I serve people, yet he forgets that all of that is a gift from God. That our religious life is not about us, but it's about what God does. Because he messes up who the source of his real life is, he ends up looking down on other people whom God loves. He goes to church, he goes back home, and in his own eyes, he's doing well. But Jesus says he goes home not justified before God because he thinks he's good by what he does. What about this tax collector? Again, Jesus surprises us because if we want to see a real religious person, we at least want to see them say, well, I repent. I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. Or I have a plan to pay back for all the things I cheated. Or become a better person. Well, this tax collector, there's nothing like that. He simply says, God, be merciful to me. Now, he uses a word in Greek that doesn't simply mean God be merciful, but he says, God, you make the payment. You make the appointment. You make the atonement for me. It's not what I do, but it's you. God, be merciful to me. So Jesus says he goes home made right, because he recognizes that it's not up to him, that it's not his goodness, it's not who he is that makes him good with God, but it is that God loves each one of us, that God accepts all of us and works with us so that we will reach the dream that God has in store for each one of us. Alex Haley, the famous author of Roots, has a picture in his office. He shows a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, a turtle. He says the picture reminds him of a lesson he learned when he was young. If you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he has some help. Alex Haley says, anytime I start thinking, wow, isn't it marvelous what I've done? He says, I look at this picture and remember how this turtle, me, got up on the post. Reformation Sunday is today, and we as Protestants think that we are better than Catholics. Well, we used to say that, you know. Of course, the Catholics say we're better than anybody, so. Of course, people would ask me, well, Pastor, we are Methodists. How are we different from the Presbyterians or the Baptists? And oftentimes today, I have to kind of search, you know, how are we different? Are we better than the Baptists or the Pentecostals or the Holy Rollers or even the snake handlers? Are we better than them? This story of Jesus reminds us that Christian faith is not about what we do. Jesus didn't come to tell us you must do 1 through 10 to be accepted by God. Jesus came to remind us that this God that he followed, this Father, this Abba, this Mother God, this source of our life, is so great that God accepts all of us. Jesus invites us to see this God for who God is and not be so caught up in looking at our own goodness or what we do right and then looking around to see if others are following behind us. The tax collector's confession is also something we have to watch out for, because many times in church we say, well, you must make sure that you repent of your sin. Make sure that you're a sinner. But Jesus and this tax collector doesn't focus on that. He focuses on who this God is. This God who is so generous, who is so great and so big that he invites all of us, regardless of what we've done, what we're thinking, what we have not become, that this God loves us, period. It's not about us. It's about God. Martin Luther and other reformers, including our own John Wesley, said that if there's one thing about us Christians, is that the fact that we are Christian doesn't depend on our ability, our actions, our beliefs, our philosophy, our theology, or anything we do. The fact that we are Christian has everything to do with God, what God does. See, Jesus came to remind us of that. All the prophets throughout history came to show us that God is a God of hesed, mercy, loving kindness, forgiveness. There is nothing that we can claim of what we've done. Everything is what God has done. To shift our attention from ourselves to God, that's Reformation. And every religious revolution and reformation has always been about that. You know, we Methodists, we are kind of proud that we are so liberal, we're open-minded. But you know that we have quite a few Methodist denominations also? Because we thought, I'm doing something better than you, right? We either come to church more often, or we have the right kind of belief, or we understand the Bible better, or we do the liturgy even at a higher level. Whatever it is, we always look around and think, I am better than you. This parable of Jesus reminds us that it is not our piety or passion, our faith or our failure, or our glory or our shame. Rather, it is that God who delights in welcoming us even when we fail, welcoming us when we're down, inviting us to see how we are loved. It is that focus back on God that has renewed the church and continues to make us a better church in every generation. So what does the church confess today? What ought we to be confessing on this day, on this Reformation Sunday? That we in Campbell United Methodist Church has got a better theology, that we have the best music, or we might, or that we have a best Sunday school, or that we have the right kind of social justice? No. It is that we have begun to see God for who God is, this God of Jesus Christ, who says, I am willing to give my life so that you will live. Because we follow this God, when we look at others, then we realize, I'm like you, and you like me. We struggle, but that's all right. Because that's how God accepts me, and that's how I'm going to accept you. Let me end with this story. Jim Corley tells of a conversation he has with a friend named Alex. Alex was struggling because he thought he was not a good enough of a Christian. So he visited Alex where he worked at his car dealership. So in that office, Alex got to the point, Jim, I feel like a hypocrite every time I go to church because I fail to live like a Christian. So Jim asked him, Alex, what do you call this part of the dealership? And he said, well, this is the showroom, okay? And what's behind the showroom past the parts department? Well, there will be the service department. Well, what if I told you that I don't want to bring my car to the service department because it's running rough? And Alex said, well, they'll be crazy. That's the whole point of the service department, that we can fix cars that aren't running right. You're absolutely right, Jim said. Now let's get back to our initial conversation. Instead of thinking of the church as a showroom where everything is image, let's start to think of church as God's service department, helping people to get back in running order with God, with themselves, and with the rest of the society. Because that's what the church is all about. I don't know if you have come to church expecting to find perfect people in this place. look hard. Maybe you'll find it. But I will tell you that all of us here want to know God better. And we want to become better people. And we realize that we can't do it by ourselves. That is why we are here in this place, with brothers and sisters who will pray for us, who will hold our hands when we're down, who will lift us up when we fall, and who will sing our praises when we do well. The Church of Jesus Christ is a place where we come to meet this God who loves us. And I hope that this week you will live with this God, knowing that God loves you and that God has given this family to you to help you in your time of need. May we be able to see each other with the eyes that God has given us, so that all who come to us may realize how much they are loved and that we stand beside them. Thanks be to God for Jesus, who has come to show us this way back to God. Amen.